Hello, my friend, and welcome to episode 204 of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I'm your host, Kim Schlag. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about rate of weight loss progress. We're going to cover what are realistic expectations for rate of fat loss progress, what factors impact your rate of progress, when and for whom is rapid fat loss perhaps appropriate, and what to do if your progress is slower than you would like. What can you do about that? That is what we're chatting about today. Before we jump in, I do want to give you a reminder that the waitlist is open for the spring round of Fitter After 40. This is the only way to work with me, so if you're listening to the episode today and you're like, I would like her to tell me personally exactly what I should be doing for my nutrition, for my exercise, I would like her to guide me to speed up my rate of weight loss progress. I'm just floundering here on my own and I could use a little bit of help. This is the time that you can do that. I only open doors to this program two times a year and they're about to open. On Tuesday, April 2nd, doors will open to the waitlist for Fitter After 40. So get your name on the list now. I am going to cap enrollment, so that is your best chance of getting a spot in the spring round. We will spend 8 weeks together. We will dial in your nutrition. We will dial in your mindset. We will dial in your exercise. You're going to get a six-week training program. I'm going to coach you through how to do all of those exercises for both safety and for efficacy, so you can really get great results from your workouts and from your nutrition. The link is in my show notes here. You can head there and let's get you on that list. All right, let's jump into the episode. Let's talk. What is a good rate of progress for weight loss and how can you speed yours up? Well, hello, friend. I'm excited to get into an interesting topic that I get asked about a lot today. We're going to be talking about how much weight you can expect to lose in a month. Like, what's a good rate of progress? I see this as something that really trips people up. So let's get to it. Now to start, I'm going to make a confession here. Now, it's just a mild indiscretion. It's not a big crime. When I'm at the grocery store checkout line and I see the terrible women's magazine covers, there's one magazine in particular. There's several, but there's one that's really bad with the headlines that say things like drop 10 pounds in 7 days with this daily drink that restores fat melting enzymes to power off pounds deliciously. Yes, I quoted that. I took a picture of that. I take a picture of these magazines a lot and share them on my Instagram stories. Covers like drop 14 pounds in 7 days with this flat belly soup, or fight fat after 50, lose 25 pounds in 8 weeks. Lose 18 pounds in 7 days with, get this, brownies for breakfast. You see these, right? Okay. When I see them, first, I usually take pictures of them so that I can come on social media and, you know, go through them with the people who are watching my stories. And then I swear under my breath and then, I hide them. I covered those magazines with other magazines. You know, I put some Taylor Swift covers or Harry Styles or Christmas crafts or whatever I can find. I would love to throw those magazines out, but you know, I don't want to actually get arrested. So I just hide them. They are so misleading, and misleading is at best, flat out lies at worst. Sometimes I wonder about the people who work in any capacity on those magazines, the writers, the editors, all the jobs that go into a magazine, and so many people they put that magazine together and it still gets out with these just absolute lies. I can't imagine. Who are these people? Who are they? You can read those magazine covers and it can feel like, whoa, everyone is losing weight faster than me, right? Like, believe me, I've been there. And you'll see this on social media as well. All kinds of scammy companies posting progress pictures and saying things like, you can lose 30 pounds by Easter, you know, and Easter's in less than 30 days, those kinds of crazy things. I want to get the facts into your head today about what progress is actually attainable, so that when you see things like that, when you see your friend and it feels like she's losing weight so much faster than you, that you can actually have a good handle on what is a good rate of progress for you. So we're going to cover today, what are realistic expectations for rate of fat loss progress? What factors impact the speed of our progress? When and for whom is rapid fat loss perhaps appropriate? And then what you can do if your progress is slower than you would like. Okay, so let's start right off with realistic expectations for fat loss progress. And the caveat here, I'm talking about progress that is sustainable and maintainable. What is a realistic expectation for fat loss that is sustainable and maintainable? Losing 10 pounds super fast, only to turn around and gain back 20 pounds, that is no one's idea of success, right? Ask yourself, does that feel successful to you if you lost 10 pounds really fast, but then immediately gained 20 pounds back? I've done that. I've done more than that. I've lost 30 pounds and gained 35 pounds back many times over the years, found a way to lose weight super fast and then immediately gained back on that weight plus. No one deems that a success. Now, I have been coaching women to lose weight for 8 years now. I've coached over 600 women personally. I've consulted with thousands of them via email and DMs, social media comments. A good average rate of sustainable, maintainable weight loss progress lies somewhere between 0.5 pound per week and 2 pounds per week, which means in a month, you could expect to lose between 2 to 8 pounds. Now, it's important to consider who is more likely to lose on that higher end. Otherwise, you might finish listening today and think, okay, Kim said I can expect to lose 8 pounds this month and then be really disappointed when you lose 2 or 3 pounds, when in reality, you were never a good candidate for an 8 pound per month weight loss. So a rate on that higher end of 1.5 to 2 pounds per week, maybe even a little bit more, is going to be for those who have obesity. If that's not you, if you have 25 pounds, 35 pounds, 15 pounds to lose, you will almost certainly not lose 1.5 to 2 pounds plus per week. You just won't. That 0.5 pound per week rate of loss, that is most likely for those with less weight to lose. And if that feels kind of annoying, remember, if you are coupling a calorie deficit with higher protein and progressive resistance training, that 2 pounds in a month is going to look like a whole lot more. 0.5 pound per week, 1 pound per week, so that 2 to 4 pounds in a month is going to look like a lot more fat lost when you are also building muscle through eating high protein and progressive resistance training. This is why using multiple measures of progress is really important. Not just the scale, but also in conjunction with the scale, use circumference measurements with a measuring tape, side-by-side progress pictures, the fit of your clothes, trying on a pair of pants with like a non-stretchy waistband every 2 to 4 weeks so you can see the changes. All of those things, in addition to looking at the scale, are really helpful when you are combining eating in a deficit with building muscle through a higher protein diet and progressive resistance training, because your body shape is going to change so much. Okay. Besides how much weight one has to lose, what impacts rate of progress? Adherence. Adherence is a huge factor and can make the difference between losing 0.5 pound per week and losing 1 pound per week. 80% adherence to your calorie deficit can get you amazing progress. 90% adherence to your calorie deficit can absolutely boost your progress. So pay attention to factors that can impact your adherence to your nutrition. Things like your environment, the people you spend time with, having a support system, having systems like pre-logging your food and meal planning and meal or ingredient prep, having those systems in place. Also pay attention to the mindset piece that can increase adherence, pushing back against all or nothing thinking and other faulty thinking patterns. All of those things I just mentioned will help increase your adherence. And this is an area where a coach can definitely help to speed things up. So if you're like, wait, yeah, I think adherence, that's my struggle. Working with a coach can really help there. Now, with the advances in pharmaceuticals, we of course see a huge difference in rate of weight loss if a person is using one of the weight loss injectables. Wegovy, Mounjaro, Ozempic, people using those see a much faster rate of weight loss. And I am all for people with obesity talking to their doctor to see if these medications are a good fit for them. And you might be surprised to hear someone like me say that, but I think that they are powerful new tools for the right people. And that's really important, for the right people. Anyone saying that people using these drugs, that these people are cheating or it's the easy way, they're simply not educated on the topic. Obesity and overweight are associated with so many diseases, and losing weight, as you know, is not easy. These drugs are one more tool we have in our toolboxes to help. Now, do I think these drugs are being abused? Absolutely. I know someone who got them prescribed online to help with losing 5 pounds. 5 pounds. That I am not in support of. I've even been approached by a company to offer my audience a discount code for their compounded version of tirzepatide. Absolutely not. I'm going to leave that to the doctors. So I do not think you should be getting weight loss medications from personal trainers online. That is craziness in my mind. But absolutely, if you are a person with obesity, speaking to your doctor about whether these medications are a good fit for you, I'm in favor of that. I'm supportive of that. It's important to remember that if you and your doctor decide that you are a good candidate for one of these medications, it is critical that you eat a high enough protein diet and that you strength train to prevent muscle loss that will accompany such rapid weight loss if it's left unchecked. Just like in a deficit that's a more moderate deficit, it's important for us to make sure that you're not losing muscle. We want you to lose fat in a deficit, not muscle. And we have to work to prevent that muscle loss in a deficit. And we do that by eating higher protein and resistance training. It's even more important using these medications to do that. You really are at risk of losing muscle, which is going to leave you at risk for not aging well in terms of your ability to move your body as you're older. Like if you want to be able to successfully walk down the street, get off the toilet, manage over curbs, stand up from your chair, reach up high and grab something off a shelf, you need muscle. It is so important to not lose muscle. And using one of these medications without eating high protein and without strength training is going to put you at a great risk for sarcopenia, for losing muscle. Sarcopenia is age related, so it's technically not that. We don't want you losing muscle. Now, whether we're talking about medically assisted weight loss or not, rapid weight loss is really only appropriate for those who have a lot of weight to lose. So you can do medically assisted weight loss that's rapid. You can also be in a steeper deficit if you have a lot of weight to lose. If someone comes to me and they have 50 to 100 plus pounds to lose, I can be much more aggressive with setting their deficit than I would be with somebody who has 35 pounds to lose, somewhere less than 50 pounds to lose. I would absolutely consider using a deficit of 30% below someone's maintenance calories for a person with a lot of weight to lose. Whereas for a person with less weight to lose, I will set their deficit calories closer to a 20% lower than maintenance calories deficit. This is really important. We do not want to be super aggressive with somebody who has less weight to lose. Remember how I talked about adherence being an important factor impacting the rate of weight loss progress? Adherence is negatively impacted by a deficit that's set prohibitively low. Trying to eat 1,200, 1,300, 1,400 calories is incredibly challenging. And this is what happens when a person who has less weight to lose tries to set their deficit very aggressive. They end up with these unsustainable calorie amounts. And then their adherence is off. You will likely get to a place where it's just you're unable to consistently hit that number. You are way better off with a moderate deficit that you can adhere to with a high degree of adherence, that 80 to 90%. So do not think that slashing your calories really low is going to lead to faster weight loss. For so many people, it does not. It does the exact opposite. It stalls weight loss. And not because their body magically goes into starvation mode. That doesn't exist. It's simply because it's impossible for most people to adhere to those low calories. And do not start thinking in your mind like, well, I'll be the one. It's me. I'll be the different person here. Likely not. You likely won't be. You might think you will be, but our bodies really do not want to exist on such low calories, and they are going to be fighting you, and you're going to get really hungry, and you're going to feel really sluggish, and you're going to have cravings. And that can be really challenging. Can you do it for a few hours? Sure. A day? Yes. maybe 5 or 6 days. Yes, eventually you're not going to be able to sustain that. And what ends up happening is you end up eating more calories and it offsets your deficit that you created over those 2, 3, 4 days that you just did stick in the low calorie deficit. And so over time, you end up at best at maintenance, if not in a surplus over time. So do not think that an aggressive deficit is the answer to speeding up your weight loss. Now, what if you're plugging along, you've got your deficit set appropriately, you are losing weight, but your progress is slower than you would like? Well, and I want to say that in terms of what we discussed here, like you have a good idea of what's realistic. But let's say you feel like, okay, based on what you said here today, like I feel like 1 pound per week could be realistic for me, but I'm only losing 0.5 pound. Here are some questions that I would have you consider. The first question to consider is, how long have you been in a deficit? If it's less than a month, it's too soon for you to gauge your progress. You cannot gauge progress in a few days. You do not know what's happening. We need to look at the trend on the scale over time. Looking at individual data points is not useful because the scale will spike for all kinds of reasons. So a successful trend line, if you're looking at your trend line, it's not going to go neat and tidy down. It's not going to be like 150, 149.5, 149, 147.6, 147.4. It's going to bounce all over as it trends down. And so when you see these spikes, it doesn't mean that anything is wrong. So you need a long enough time to be able to see what is actually happening with the trend line. So give yourself a full month to be able to assess, am I making good progress? Next, check on that adherence. It is so important. Really run the numbers. Out of the last 28 days, so 4 weeks, 28 days, how many of those days have you hit your calorie target right on? Now, I hope you're setting calorie targets in a smart way, as in having a range versus a number. Giving yourself a single number or taking a single number from a coach, like let's say 1750, it's really hard to judge your progress because like how often are you going to hit that exactly on the nose? And so it's way better to give yourself a range of let's say 1700 to 1800 or 1700 to 1750 or 1650 to 1750, like give yourself a range. And then when you assess your adherence, you can see like, yes, because it's not that hard to hit within a 50 to 100 calorie range, but hitting a number smack on the nose is really challenging. So one, when you have your calorie set, use a range. And then when you're looking at your adherence, you can say, yep, I fell in that range or I didn't fall in that range. So assess out of the last 28 days, how many days have you hit your calorie target? Check how many days have you hit your protein target? And again, give yourself a range. And how many days have you hit your step target? If you're like, I don't know, I can't really say for sure. If you're estimating, do not change a thing. Keep track of your adherence better. You cannot go by feel here. You cannot go by feel to say how well you have adhered to your deficit, to your steps, to your protein. You just don't know if you're going by feel. You might be like, I've done pretty well. That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. You need to look at hard numbers here. This is something that I teach in my Fitter After 40. I help them every 4 weeks. We do a progress review and we look at the numbers. And so they can have a really clear view of what their progress has been and what their adherence has been and see what, if anything, needs to be adjusted. You need those hard numbers. If out of the last 28 days, you have hit your calorie, step, and protein targets less than 23 days, your adherence is the issue. 23 out of 28 days is 80% consistency. Any less than that, adherence is the issue. And then you can work on knowing that, what do I need to do to increase my consistency? Now, if you have hit that amount and see that you are losing weight, you're like, okay, I've hit 80% consistency. I'm losing some weight, but you would like to speed it up a bit. My best suggestion is to work on increasing that adherence to 90%. 90% is 25 out of 28 days hitting your calorie target, your protein target, and your step target. 25 out of 28 days. Now, I want to point out there are 4 Saturdays, 4 Friday nights, and 4 Sundays every 28 days. So if you tend to be less adherent on those days, that is a place to pay attention. being adherent to your deficit from Monday through Friday afternoon, and then Friday night through Sunday, having all of those days or one of those days, two of those days each weekend where you're going over your calories, over your calories and under your steps, some combination there, the adherence is going to be the issue. So look there to improve your adherence. That is a place where you can increase your rate of weight loss progress is by dialing those in. Now, if you have high adherence with your nutrition, you are consistently strength training. We have to prioritize that to spare your muscle in a deficit. So if you're like, okay, I've got high adherence. I've got that 80 or I've got even got 90% adherence. I got 90% adherence. I'm consistently strength training. Got to be doing that to preserve that muscle in your deficit. You're seeing that half a pound per week progress, but you would like to speed it up some more. This is where increasing daily movement and adding in dedicated cardio comes in handy. Okay, so again, you've gotten your high degree of adherence with your nutrition. You're up to that 90%. You're consistently strength training. Got to consistently strength train to prioritize sparing your muscle in a deficit. You are seeing some weight loss. It's a little slower than you want. This is where we work on increasing your daily movement more and adding in dedicated cardio sessions. So consider how many steps are you getting daily? There is no magic number. A baseline of 7,500 steps is supported by the research to get the bulk of the health benefits from walking. For fat loss, I have found increasing that number to between 10 and 12,000 steps is helpful for fat loss while also not being lifestyle prohibitive, which is really important. Giving yourself a goal of 15,000 steps per day, unless, I mean, if you live in a big city, that's easy peasy. Like when I was just in New York City last week, 18,000, wasn't even trying, not even trying. So if you live a walkable lifestyle in a big city, you can likely get way more steps. Otherwise, for most people, getting up past 12,000, again, unless there's something unique to your situation, maybe you have a job that involves a lot of walking. But if you, like most people, have like a more sedentary job, an office job, those kinds of things, getting past 12,000 can feel really lifestyle prohibitive, like you're spending so much time and energy trying to get more steps. But I do find up to 12,000 steps is really manageable for most people. So again, if you've got that nutrition dialed, that 90% adherence, you're doing your strength training at least three times a week, you're losing that little bit of weight, maybe that half a pound, you want to increase that amount, that rate of progress, increase your steps up to that 10, 11, 12,000 step range. That's my first recommendation. And then consider adding in a cardio session or two per week. 30 minutes, one to two times per week, treadmill, stair stepper, running or fast walking outside, whatever mode of cardio you prefer, add in. See what happens when you add in one cardio session per week. How does that help? Do we want to add in another? Add in a couple of cardio sessions. Again, I would not place this in terms of weight loss when we're talking about priorities for losing weight. I would not put cardio sessions up above nutrition or even steps. So keep this priority in list in order. Nutrition is dialed. You're doing your strength training, getting in steps, then cardio. And obviously doing cardio, it's going to help with your steps too. You don't have to do them separate. It's not like you get your 12,000 steps plus the 30 minutes of cardio. You can have the 30 minutes of cardio adding up those steps. All right. As you have listened today, if you're like, okay, I don't even know if my calories are set right. How do I know if I have the right deficit? Like, I'm not sure. Is this calculator correct? Are mine too low? Are they too high? Or you're hearing like the message that it's your adherence. If you've seen yourself in this discussion about adherence today, and you're thinking, I need someone to coach me through all of this, this is your reminder that I can do that for you. All of those things I talked about here today, setting your calories, setting your step targets, reviewing your adherence, helping you identify strategies that will work best in your unique life to increase your personal adherence. That's what I do. The place I can do all of that for you and with you is in Fitter After 40. So if you're a woman in her 40s, 50s, 60s, get on the wait list for Fitter After 40, and I can help you work through each of those things to get you not only losing weight, but get you losing weight at a really good rate. The waitlist is open right now. I am going to be capping the number, so you want to be sure to get on the waitlist because then you're going to have first dibs at a spot. Doors open to the waitlist in less than 5 weeks now. The doors open to the waitlist on Tuesday, April 2nd. That's going to be here before you know it. You can find the link to get on the waitlist to Fitter After 40 in the show notes. If you have any questions about that, if you're like, I don't know if I'm a good fit, hit me up. You can hit me up in Instagram DMs. You can email me, kim@kimschlagfitness.com, and let's chat it through. All right, friend, I will be back here next week, and we'll keep talking. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I hope you found it motivational, inspirational, educational, organizational. If you did find value in this episode today, it would mean a great deal to me if you would leave a rating and review on whatever podcasting platform you are listening to this episode on. It really does help to get this podcast in front of other people. Thanks so much for being here.